Live from the Police Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app, 855-212-4CBS. Number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. Coming up 2 hours from now, the head football coach at Baylor getting set for his third year with the Bears, coming off a Big 12 championship. Dave Aranda will stop by, and then in the final hour of the show, five teams remain on first and goal, and the Atlanta Falcons will be crossed off the list today. We'll put them up with Carl Dukes. Does a great job with the game out there in Atlanta. He's going to stop by at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. But producing this extravaganza first for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
Wow! I am shocked. Now, we play two Hot Take Hickey sound effects normally. My mother saying, I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey. And then Adam in Toronto, who was the first caller who said, Hot Take Hickey. And that was the voice of former Pro Bowl running back Leroy Horde. And I didn't think we were going to start the show off this way, but forget Aaron Donald. Ryan Harris going on the DA show and hyping up the Chargers and hyping up Justin Herbert. We'll get to all that stuff in just a second. You were pretty, though, adamant yesterday, Hot Take Hickey. And when you get so steadfast, you dig your heels in and you get very stubborn and very arrogant and very obnoxious and refuse to change your opinion. When I said we should throw that into the rotation of the Hot Take Hickey sounders, you said, absolutely not. Not going to happen. I don't want people to be hearing me getting called the dumb producer by Leroy Horde and then using the great nickname Hot Take Hickey. So what made you change your line of thinking there?
Should I be a good producer? It's good for the show. I think it's funny.
I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you. You put aside your selfish ways and you did what's in the best interest of this extravaganza. You know what? I'm getting off my fat ass right now and I'm giving you a standing ovation. Phenomenal job out of you. And it's also pretty badass, too, if you think about it, for your brand, the Hot Take Hickey brand, when you have a former NFL running back, a Pro Bowl back, a guy that was really damn good in Leroy Horde going after you. That's pretty badass, if you ask me, their Hot Take Hickey. I think that factors into it.
I don't think there's a Hot Take Hickey brand. That's definitely not a thing for sure. So
there's definitely a brand.
There's no brand.
People know you across the nation as Hot Take Hickey, even outside of this country. When we go to Canada, they refer to you as Hot Take Hickey. From Milwaukee to L.A., as we go all around to our affiliates in Florida, Alabama, Indianapolis, you name it. They know who Hot Take Hickey is. You should start making t-shirts. Maybe we could call up Cap and get Cap to come in one day or stay a little bit later, because Cap always likes to help out our program, and we're very thankful for Andrew Kaplan, who does a great job. Maybe Cap should green screen you and he could put fire off your fingertips. That's a hot take by Hot Take Hickey. I'm proud of you. This is like a great moment for our show, because you're letting the guard down a little bit and you're having some personality here and a little fun at your expense. And I think you made significant strides today, Ryan.
I would say most fun is had at my expense on this show anyway, so I'm just contributing to the laughs, we'll say.
We're a fair, balanced show. If you want to make fun of me, you're more than welcome to. There just could be some consequences, and consequences aren't always negative, as I was taught when I was a little kid, even though I was never little. So there's just sometimes repercussions for your actions, okay? If you want to come attack me,
it's a very subtle threat.
I have thick skin. I could take it, but you better deliver a knockout punch. Because if you allow me to keep my legs going and you allow me to stay dancing in that ring. And the next thing you know, we get into the 10th, 11th round, and you look like you're winning for the first 10 rounds, and then I deliver a big knockout punch, then it's a missed opportunity. And that's what I say all the time. Good fighters, they find a way to win even when they don't have their best. So if you want to go perform to the best of your abilities and try to knock me out, God bless you. There'll be some days you win. Most of the time you're going to lose because that's just the nature of the Gelb-Hickey relationship. Because you're the one with all the hot takes. You're the one that spews all this nonsense about Penn State football and the Indianapolis Colts. And you do it to yourself. It's just like the gift that keeps on giving. I don't seek out to try to attack Ryan and have all these dumb takes that he has. But you just develop these takes out of nowhere and you get so confident about them. And I just love to see, because you wear your emotions on your sleeve when things don't go your way. I have to ask you a quick question before we get into this Los Angeles Chargers stuff. I saw a tweet of yours today, and I really shouldn't start the show off this way, but I am intrigued by the tweet. You agree with me probably a month and a half ago when I went on this big time rant how training camp's monotonous. I hate preseason games. We get all worked up about monotonous training camp and preseason games, even though we both love summer. Just fast forward to the start of the season and get to the games that actually count. And if memory serves me right, you said, you're right. 100% agree. We usually disagree. I've never agreed more with you. So I was surprised today when I was working out and I was perusing Twitter and just little old poor me minding my old business. And I'm minding my own business and I see a little tweet on the good old cesspool of Twitter from you. And the tweet from you was, I can't wait for this Colts preseason game against the Bucs. There's never been a bigger preseason game in my lifetime. First off, if you're actually getting excited for a preseason game, you need to reevaluate life. But why are you so excited for this preseason game when I thought we were aligned and we were in sync together and we were walking hand in hand and saying how much we hate the preseason and training camp? I was surprised by that.
Because this is an opportunity for the Colts for the first time in a long time for guys that have played well in training camp to have it translate into a game-like atmosphere when you have the Buccaneers playing every starter that's healthy. Like, for the last, 5 years, there has been nothing but positive reviews out of Colts training camp. And as you know, more times than not, that has led to disappointment from yours truly, whether it's missing the playoffs or whether it's an early exit from the playoffs. So this year, there's been, again, more of the same. Some of the Colts receivers are looking good. A lot of them are unproven. So it's now to the point where I'm sick and tired of hearing these good reports in training camp and joint practices and one-on-ones, and then come the regular season time, they're MIA, nowhere to be found. This is a chance against one of the best teams in the NFL who is playing their guys in the first half.
Which is stupid, by the way. The fact that they're playing Tom Brady is dumb.
I would agree with you there 100%. But for the Colts, with a lot of new guys and relying on unproven players, this is a chance against a good competition to finally kind of get your get in the right direction. Colts have started off very slow. You can't have that this year. Hot start, I think, means also playing in the preseason, which I haven't done it before.
This isn't a bit. You're being serious?
I'm dead serious. Dead serious. They were 2-6 last year. They were 1-5.
I get that.
They've gone off to slow starts.
When is the game against the Bucs?
Saturday night, 7:30.
You're going to waste a Saturday night in the summer to watch this bull crap?
Yes, that's right. For the first half, at least. That's when the starters are going to play.
So you're excited for the first half, and if they perform poorly, is the hot take Hickey that I know going to start to press the panic button before the season even starts?
I'll be concerned, yeah.
Because it sounds like to me, not to go all Mike Francesa on you, but I'll ask you the question, it sounds like to me you're worried, so... Are you worried? Okay.
I want to see how game three goes, but if they don't play well, 2 weeks, all of a sudden it's going to turn around. Again, I know you're playing the Texans and the Jaguars.
Yeah, well, the Jaguars own you, but still
the Colts,
they
not
suck.
Won a season opener since 2013, and they have not won in Jacksonville since 2014. There are two streaks on the line they need to break right away. No slow starts.
You guys... Worst case scenario, through the first 6 weeks of the season,
Include the Titans 7 weeks. That's big. Five out of the first seven games are AFC South.
This schedule sucks.
AFC South.
You play teams. Tennessee week four.
And seven.
And week seven.
Yes.
That sucks.
And the Jaguars, I believe, twice as well. So the Jaguars and the Titans, by the time mid-October, is already done.
My football season is now ruined before it even started.
Why is that?
Because I was hoping that Tennessee game would be, the second one would be later in the year. And then you have both those two teams at the same record or very close to one another, and the importance would just be so much more significant.
Blame the schedule makers.
That's a horrible schedule.
Last year, I think the second time they met was Halloween, which is still early. And this year, it's even earlier.
That's brutal.
Actually, probably right on the same time.
Halloween, because that's when Henry got hurt. Derrick Henry. This sucks. So, like, objectively, I'm going to tell you this. And I love you. You're my guy. Even though I tried to go all Aaron Donald on you in a pre-show meeting, and we put that out on social media and swing a helmet at you and almost try to take off your cabeza. The fact that you have any desire to watch this game, and I get it, you now have a very popular Colts podcast, but the fact that you have any desire to actually care about this game and it's going to impact your thinking on the season shows me that you're not confident to begin with in this football team. And I love you. I'm trying to be warm and fuzzy here to you, but it's embarrassing here.
I think of being realistic, and I think if anything, you should be proud of me.
No.
Because every year I go in with the same attitude. Colts are going to be good. They're going to win the division. And every year for training camp, it's the same glowing reports. So you know what? Maybe it took to doing the podcast, and now like maybe even in deeper than I thought I would be.
What's the name of the podcast again?
For the Blue Horseshoe.
The Blue Horseshoe.
For the Shoe is the Colts hashtag on Twitter. This is like, if the Colts are going to get off to a hot start, you got to play well against Tom Brady and the Bucs. Let's go. Special teams has been a disaster. The run defense is a disaster. Outside of Michael Pittman Jr., there's no one you can really rely on.
What's wrong? You're like going, you're only 28. You're like going through a midlife crisis right now.
I want to see a good football team live up to expectations.
These are the shows that I love the most because this was so impromptu. And I don't even know how I got here in the conversation, but I just remember seeing this tweet today. And for whatever reason, when the microphone went on and I saw you standing across from me, that was the first thing that I just had to say to you. It's weird because last year I was telling you the Colts were going to suck. This year I'm telling you the Colts should win the division. Regardless of what happens coming up in this preseason game on Saturday night where I hope your girlfriend, no offense, dumps you if you...
Well, we won't be hanging Saturday night.
Oh, you won't be?
My fantasy football, big fantasy football draft. It's a big bros day on Saturday.
Wait. Well, when does the fantasy football draft start?
2:00.
Is this loser city? I'm doing my fantasy draft on Saturday, too.
Yeah. Look who's talking.
No. That's what I'm saying you're
Look
loser
who's talking.
For. You though, and I've been in a relationship, you need to have a little give and take. And she's allowing you to go watch or to go participate in your fantasy football draft.
Well, allowing is
no. You are having
I am
that
going,
time
on whether a, she's okay
fine.
With it or not.
On a summer Saturday, you are taking away a significant amount of time to do your fantasy football draft at 2 p.m. By 6 or 7 p.m., you should be home and taking your girlfriend out for dinner instead of watching Colts Buccaneers preseason. If this was the regular season, 100%. Good job by Hickey. You put your foot down. It's football. Weekends, we do what men do best. We watch football. And you got to cater around our schedule. If you want to watch, come ahead. You go watch the game with me. And look at me like I'm a madman when I scream at the television. I'm on Lolly's side here. This is the preseason. You got to take her out on Saturday night.
We're not going to hang anyway on Saturday. I'll be home.
Where's she
going?
City.
I'm going home for this.
Yeah, you got to go back to your girlfriend.
No, I'm not. I'll be drinking all day. I'm not going back on the train.
If you're a single male in New York City, you may want to go where Hickey lives and try to pick up his girlfriend.
Please.
Here's your schedule. I'm going to talk you at the ledge here. Say it with me. The game on Saturday doesn't matter. Just say that for me.
I'm not saying that. I mean, it's
the
important.
The game on Saturday doesn't matter. Thank you very much.
It's important.
This is the Colts' first 7 weeks. You got a pen here?
I know. Yeah, I got it. Ready to go.
Write it down. Week one at the Texans.
That's right.
Win, you'll shake in your boots a little bit, but you'll win. Week two at Jacksonville. blowout.
Yeah, for the Jets.
You guys are due to blow out Jacksonville in Jacksonville. You start the year out 2-0. Week 3, you get blown out by Kansas City. So it's 2-1. Then, I'm going to say you beat Tennessee week 4. So you start out the year 3-1. You lose to Denver. You're 3-2. You beat Jacksonville. So you sweep them. You go to 4-2. And then I had you losing right to Tennessee the first time? Yep. Or beating Tennessee the first time?
Beating Tennessee the first time.
So then you're going to lose to them the second time. You go 4-3 through the first 7 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's without even this game being played on Saturday. The game on Saturday means nothing.
And you say that, but again, the Colts have not, like, they you think.
Which, by the way, 4-3, it's an okay start, but you don't need to be great to win this division. You get, I think if you get to 10 wins, 11 wins, it's a lock you win the division this year. You get to 10, you hope the tiebreaker goes.
They start 4-3. I think they're going 11-6. And they're winning the division.
Okay.
The schedule's not awful afterward, but the start is key.
You get the return of Carson Wentz. Then
yeah,
you get
I'm shaking in my boots
this
for that
high
one.
Power, high octane offense led by Matt Patricia with the Patriots. Then you have the Raiders. Oh, that's a good. Wow, McDaniels. You get McDaniels Wentz.
That's right. Revenge season.
Eagles, the return of Nick Sirianni. Steelers. Cowboys.
Who knows if we're playing quarterback?
Vikings,
then. Who knows
Chargers, Giants, yeah. Texans. You got some tough games. You made that schedule seem pretty easy.
Not easy. I'm saying that that's manageable. The Colts are a good team. They should win these games.
They're a good team.
Part of it goes with starting on Saturday night. That's the season starts on Saturday.
Team. No, it doesn't.
The season starts on Saturday.
No,
let's go.
The season starts at 1 p.m. Is it 1? Yeah, 1 p.m. Eastern on September 11th. That's when the season starts. Stop with this preseason.
You gotta get. You gotta start somewhere.
Oh, the preseason! I'm so excited for the preseason. Oh, the Colts and the Bucks preseason. Stop it.
This is a very specific scenario where the preseason, for once,
loser,
does matter.
We'll take a time out here on the Zach Gelb Show when we come on back. Good job out of the DA show today. I saw Mraz and Bogus were filling in. They had on our pal, Ryan Harris, who's also their pal as well. And Ryan Harris had an explosive take. And I really can't believe what he said. We'll play it for you next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You want to talk about hot takes? I love this guy. This is The Zach Gelb Show playbook. I love this guy. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. But he said something pretty stupid today. Now, Ryan Harris, there's friends of a show. And then there is a really, really good friend of the show. I met Ryan Harris 5 years ago at a Super Bowl. Had no clue who he was when he said hello to me. I didn't know at the time, like, oh, that's Ryan Harris when he started a conversation with me. And then once he said his name, I go, oh, okay, I actually know who you are. But I was in a Starbucks and I was with my father. And a lot of people think my dad looks like Bill Belichick. Hot take, Icky. And my dad, we were at one of the Super Bowls. He was in like a sweatshirt. And my dad is a little bit messy. So you got some rips in the sweatshirt, some stains in the sweatshirt. And some people say that my father, who's a very kind man, has a little bit of like a sour look on his face. So Ryan Harris walks up to my dad at the time and me and goes, yo, Belichick, what are you getting a drink? And I go, Belichick? And then I looked at my dad and I go, yeah, I could see it. And my dad told me that he's gotten that comparison before. And then it's clear that Ryan Harris is a former football player. So I said, oh, what's your name? He goes, Ryan Harris. I go, oh, former Denver Bronco. And away you go. So I love Ryan Harris. And anytime Ryan Harris comes on this show, he brings up, hey, how's Belichick doing? And Ryan Harris may or may not have said in the Starbucks store, are you stealing their menu items? To my father, which I thought was a very good line in the moment. Do you see Belichick on my father?
Not too much. Okay. I don't know if it's like the hair.
They have the hair, similar wrinkles, rough-looking kind of face, even though my father is
rough
very gentle
looking.
Face. I'm just repeating what people have told me. That's not my
assessment.
Hope
your dad's not listening.
Don't take me out of the will.
Yeah.
I still get 51%, remember? I'm favorite child, all that stuff. I'm just repeating what people have told me.
Your dad's in a lot better shape than Bill, especially after the unflattering photos of him in the wrestling belt.
Can I be honest?
Belt.
Over the weekend, I'm with my uncle. And my uncle saw the photo of me and Belichick from Patriot training camp. And my uncle said, Bill looks like he lost a ton of weight. And I go, you're right. I don't think this photo yesterday at the UFC headquarters. Now remember, they're in Las Vegas. So it's hot, it's sweaty. Belichick's being an idiot wearing, I think, a long sleeve shirt. So you're going to be sweating. And everyone knows if you take a photo and you're sweating and the shirt's sticking to you, it's going to be pressed up on your body. And it may make you look a little bit fatter than what you are. Now, Belichick's had some moves over his years. We know that. But when I saw Bill a few weeks ago, I thought Bill was in good shape. I didn't think the photo was as bad as what everyone's making it out to be. I think that's just because there's a lot of Patriot haters in the world there, Hot Take Hickey. And that's why people are going nuts here on this Belichick
I don't know.
Photo.
A cup, B cup, maybe. Also, he did himself no favors by putting the belt, basically making it as a training bra. You did yourself no favors there.
Well, they put it around Bill Belichick.
You got to slide that down.
It's not that bad.
It does not look good. It does not look good. That's very unflattering.
He's got a nice A cup.
Very unflattering for Bill.
He's got a nice little A cup, Belichick.
That's why he wears a lot of baggy clothes, you see. Sweatshirts. You know, like three layers. Even when he's wearing short sleeves, it's always like, you know, a pullover or shorts.
He'd be wearing all black if that was the case.
Makes sense now.
Who do you think is bigger, boobs? Belichick or Mraz?
Wow, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Bills look pretty big.
Here's the headline. Hot Take Hickey likes Belichick's boobs better than Mraz's.
That's a great question. Anyway, I need a side-by-side comparison.
Talking about Mraz, he was hosting the DA show today with Andrew Bogish. They had on our pal, their pal, everyone's pal, Ryan Harris. Listen to this one. Ryan Harris says Justin Herbert is the best QB he's ever seen. Listen up.
Well, the AFC West, I think, is really going to be led by the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, Justin Herbert's the best quarterback I've ever seen, and I played with Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger. This guy is unbelievable. They went out and got tremendous defensive additions as well. But make no mistake, everybody in the AFC West is chasing the Los Angeles Chargers.
So when you're doing an interview and someone says something like that, and Mraz's jaw hit the floor and so did Bogish, I think the best thing to do when you're in that interview is just repeat what the person said and go, wait, you just said he's the best quarterback you've ever seen and you played with Peyton Manning? And that's what Mraz did on the follow-up, and this was the follow-up response by Ryan Harris.
I played with Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger, and I'm telling you, Justin Herbert's the best quarterback I've ever seen. It's unbelievable what he does. It is something that's only going to continue to increase, and he's got the most talented arm in the NFL.
I'm speechless, Hickey, and you are a Peyton Manning sycophant. The guy could do no wrong in your book, even though he likes the Denver Broncos more than the Indianapolis Colts with how much he's around that franchise. That's an absurd statement. And I like Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, what he's done the first 2 years in the league, I agree with Ryan Harris on the first part that I think the Chargers are going to win the AFC West. But to say that he's the best quarterback he's ever seen and then he talks about the talent that Justin Herbert has, I don't get that one. Like, can you make the playoffs first? Can you go have a decade of success before you start comparing the talent that he has and the way that you look at him? He's the best quarterback you've ever seen when you played with a top 10 quarterback of all time in the Sheriff and Peyton Manning.
Now, Ryan Harris, obviously, his endeavor, so covers the Broncos. So he sees the Chargers more than most. Here's a frustration I personally have. I feel like when we have these big games like we did last year, Week 18, Raiders, Chargers. Everyone's watching that game. Justin Herbert played a tremendous game.
He was great.
They did not lose that game because of him. They willed them to overtime. But it's like we take games like that and just kind of then extrapolate, oh, Justin Herbert is great. He had this great game on a big stage. Of course he's a great quarterback. And then you ignore other games that he struggled against your Patriots, against the Texans when they got blown out, against the Vikings, which is a bad defense. And it's like everyone ignores that. Oh, let's just say this guy's the greatest quarterback ever. You need both. And to be consistent is part of being great. And that's where he's not there yet.
Well, here's my problem with this. And it's kind of similar to the Tua conversation where Tyreek Hill goes, oh, Tua Tagovailoa is more accurate than Patrick Mahomes. Can I just ask a simple question to you, Hickey? What does that even matter? Even if that's true, that Tua is more accurate than Patrick Mahomes, what does it mean?
The ball will be where he wants it.
Okay.
That's really
so it. So how far does the accuracy go? Like, is he accurate 30 yards downfield? People always take shots at the deep shot ability of Tua Tagovailoa. And the thing is now, the quarterback position, you look for a big quarterback that's mobile. So, yes, the makeup of these quarterbacks and maybe the physical characteristics for Justin Herbert are better than Peyton Manning. But when you say he's the best quarterback I've ever seen, like play that first cut one more time. Do me, I just want to listen to it and break it down one more time. Go ahead.
Well, the AFC West, I think, is really going to be led by the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, Justin Herbert's the best quarterback I've ever seen, and I played with Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger. This guy is unbelievable. They went out and got tremendous defensive additions as well. But make no mistake, everybody in the AFC West is chasing the Los Angeles Chargers.
You're saying he's the best quarterback you've ever seen? That's just nonsense to me. Because Peyton Manning is a better, big hot take by me today. Peyton Manning is a better quarterback than the first 2 years of what we've seen with Justin Herbert. Now, I know Peyton got off to a slow start in his career, and Justin Herbert's been lethal individually his first 2 years in the NFL. But this is the way and the wording of this, and this has been a frustration of mine for 2 years. People latch on to certain characteristics and then go, oh, he does this better, he does that better. And then you think, okay, then he's saying he's a better quarterback. But in this case, he just said he's the best quarterback he's ever seen. So that doesn't make sense to me. And this happens all the time. And I know people are going to say, oh, here comes Gelb again, bringing up Tom Brady. But people talk about the physical makeup of a quarterback. And people don't take like Brady's arm strength or how far he throws the football, mobility, all that stuff. That's what makes Tom Brady even more impressive. Because if you were designing the perfect quarterback and Brady's the GOAT, there's traits that you would take from other quarterbacks. And that's what drives me nuts is we see some guy's arm strength and he could throw a football 70 yards down the field. And you go, oh, he's the best quarterback I've ever seen. You got to put it all together. Like Aaron Rodgers is a great physical specimen. He's had a great career, going to be a Hall of Famer, won a Super Bowl. But there will be some disappointment when Aaron Rodgers retires and you can't call him the greatest of all time because he only has one ring. And there's been big moments in the last few years where he failed in the big spots. So I don't get, and it's not like he played with crappy quarterbacks. Like, right, there's some receivers or linemen that go, oh, he's the best quarterback I've ever seen. And you go, okay, you played with Sam Bradford. You played with Curtis Painter. And give me one other, Marcus Mariota. Yeah. Get someone that has a pulse, and he'll be a better quarterback than probably any of those three guys, or someone that's healthy. To say he's the best quarterback you've ever seen, that's a hot take to me. And that is way too premature from a guy that we like in Ryan Harris. Now, I will agree on the first part. I like the Chargers to win the AFC West this year. I think the Chargers are going to be a heck of a football team. But with all this love, and I've been giving them a lot of love this offseason, if they don't make the playoffs this year like they didn't make the playoffs last year, they could be the biggest disappointment in the NFL. Now, I'm picking them to win the division. I'm picking Brandon Staley to win Coach of the Year. You, though, don't make the playoffs this year, it could be the biggest disappointment in the league that has a realistic chance to maybe miss the playoffs. Like the Bills, they're not missing the playoffs. That AFC East, even though it's improved, Buffalo's still the best team by far. You look at the NFC East. I know there's injury issues with the Cowboys. They'll still make the playoffs. The Packers are going to make the playoffs. The Rams are going to make the playoffs. But Hickey, you look at this AFC West, you can tell me the Chargers are going to finish first. They can finish fourth. That's how good this AFC West is. If they don't make the playoffs this year, that's the team I'm going to be most disappointed in. Who's the team you'd be most disappointed if they don't make the playoffs?
I'll say the Cardinals.
It's a good one.
You pay your quarterback, Kyler Murray. There's questions. No DeAndre Hopkins. Like, you got to get there.
I'm not going to use it as an excuse. If they don't make the playoffs, though, and you're right with what you just said, they paid the quarterback. You pay the quarterback that much money. I don't care who you're throwing the football to. You got to get the job done. But that will be the excuse if they get off to a slow start and then miss the playoffs because of that. Oh, they didn't have DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games of the season. That will be the excuse. I'm not saying it's right. They got to make the playoffs. That's a good one, though, that you did bring to the conversation. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout when we come on back. Jerry Jones is now talking about Ezekiel Elliott, and I don't agree with what he said about Zeke. We'll get to that on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Well, thank you very much. It is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Some unfortunate news for the Dallas Cowboys. Their Pro Bowl left tackle, Teron Smith, is going to be out at least 3 months. So maybe they'll get him back in December. He got hurt in practice. That's a hamstring injury? Hot take, Kiki?
Tore off the bone.
Oh! Ow.
Not to ruin anyone's day, but...
Yeah, I just ate pizza during the break. That's my dinner for this evening. And I think I may have that pizza coming back up right now. That's, ooh.
For a man his size, that is tough.
There's only one other reaction that elicits that type of response, and that's if you get hit in the jewels. When you see another man get hit in the jewels, and you go, oh, that was bad. When you hear... the hamstring tore off the bone. You're like, oh, ow. Yeah, not good. So anyway, you also, before this news came out, you had Jerry Jones today welcoming Stephen A. Smith to Jerry's World, right? For all this, all these practices. Now, did you see how Stephen A. arrived to First Take today?
I did not watch the full thing, but it was a helicopter.
He was in a helicopter with Jerry Jones.
They know how to make an entrance, both of them, huh?
They do. I don't know who loves attention more. Ah, no, I do. Jerry Jones loves attention more.
Stephen A. is not far behind. They're in the same tier.
I think I saw something today. I forget which media insider this was, that Stephen A. is doing some Odyssey podcasts. Did you see that news today?
No.
Let me see. Stephen A. Smith Odyssey. Yeah, from Ryan Glassbeagle. This is a good job. Odyssey and Cadence 13 is launching a new Stephen A. Smith podcast called No Mercy. It will air 3 times a week. Now, I have a question, and maybe I probably shouldn't do this on the air since... I am a company guy and a company man. We never say, oh, our talent can't appear on ESPN. Or we don't want ESPN talent on our network. ESPN, a lot of times, and there's some guys that come on here and they get no issues, but a lot of times there is some talent that goes, oh, I can't come on, ESPN won't allow me. So Stephen A. is a mega star for ESPN. I don't know anything about the Odyssey and Cadence 13 podcast network. I don't even know what Cadence 13 is. How can the two, I'm assuming those are two companies. One I know Odyssey is. I don't know anything about Cadence 13. How can they hire Stephen A. Smith to do this podcast? I would have to imagine his contract's exclusively to ESPN, but I guess not here, hot take, Icky.
I guess not. I mean, it's Stephen A., so he kind of makes the rules. I'm more curious, how does he have time? This guy is
Cadence
on the
13,
morning.
Oh, it's an Odyssey company.
Yeah, oh yeah. Cadence 13 is like a podcasting company within Odyssey.
It's a leading podcast. Oh, I didn't know that.
Owned by Odyssey.
So Odyssey hired Stephen A. Smith to do a podcast.
3 times a week when he's on in the mornings, when he has his own show, when he's on SportsCenter, when he's, you know,
Well, I could tell you why. I'm sure we threw him the bag, but why does Stephen A. need to do a podcast? The guy makes like $10 million a year.
I would agree. I don't know how he has time, frankly, to do it.
Look, it's good for us. Stephen A. Smith is an absolute legend, so it's good for Odyssey. You think Stephen A. now is going to be allowed to come on Odyssey shows?
I hope so. He's a company guy now, right? Isn't he part of within the company?
Yeah, I don't get how this works whatsoever. And sorry, I just remember I saw the... It wasn't even an article. It was just a post today. So there was nothing even to read, but I guess Stephen A., who's still doing everything with ESPN, is now doing an Odyssey podcast three times a week.
No mercy. I wonder who he's going to be yelling at now. Who's going to receive the wrath?
Produced by Odyssey Sports, Cadence 13, this is via Variety. A podcast division will be three times a week. It's slated to premiere September 26th on the Odyssey app and all major podcast platforms. A new episode set to drop Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Wow. That's kind of nuts.
No.
It's hard to put into words how excited I am about this opportunity, Smith said in a statement provided to Variety. Although my love for sports will never fade, neither has my zest for expanding my interest beyond the court or field of play. I love news. I love entertainment. Above all else, I love attaching myself to and touching on things that are percolating in the minds of the masses with no inhibitions. So,
wow. So he'll be going into maybe the political world, the fashion world, the entertainment world. Kim K, watch out. He's coming for Stephen A. is coming for you.
You say Kim K?
Kim K. People call her Kim Kardashian? I don't think
Kim so. Kim Kardashian. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I just wasn't expecting Hot Take Hickey to be linking Stephen A. Smith to Kim Kardashian.
Well, he wants to get out there and talk other than sports. She's in the news always.
Do you remember in Philadelphia the night, there was some fight, I forget where it was, and I know that's like limiting down to not many options.
Like a boxing
but
fight.
No, there was a security guard that ran on the court at the Sixers game, and people thought it was Stephen A. Smith. Or it may have been... Maybe it was a Nets game? No, it was definitely a Sixers game because I was on in Philadelphia. And I texted Stephen A because I've had him on before. I've talked to him before, before I worked here. And Stephen A goes, yeah, that's not me. But everyone thought it was Stephen A. And that was like a big news story. Zach Gilb reports that it was not Stephen A. It was a security guard that looked just like Stephen A. Smith.
Poor hairline for that guy.
Yeah.
Stephen A. can rock it. You're not Stephen A. with that hairline.
Anyway, let's get to Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones says the Cowboys offense will go through Ezekiel Elliott on First Take with now our co-worker, Stephen A. Smith.
Now, it is still a fact. We go as Zeke goes. I know it's a lot on Dak's shoulders, but we go as Zeke goes. He's very capable of being everything we've ever wanted to be. The wild card, though, is the guy that's playing beside him, Pollard. And so we put Pollard in some plans that with Zeke for the defenses to have to work against midweek and be ready to play, then you've got Pollard. We really like where we are at running back, but it all starts and stops with Zeke.
I disagree with that. Doesn't it all start and end with your quarterback? 3-4 years ago, yeah, it all starts and ends with Ezekiel Elliott. But this is now Dak Prescott's team without a doubt, Ryan, especially when Ezekiel Elliott is starting to decline a little bit. Like, still a good running back, but not as powerful and not as great as he once was.
Couldn't agree more. You know what I think this is? Jerry the businessman, who put a lot of money into Zeke, trying to be stubborn. Almost trying to will it into existence, even though he is seen on the field that's not there anymore.
You're not wrong. But if I'm Dak, aren't you annoyed by this? I'd be annoyed if I'm Dak. Imagine if my boss came out and hey, it's the Zach Gelb show, right? And imagine if Spike comes out and he goes, the Zach Gelb show all starts and ends with Ryan Hickey. I'd be like, boss, WTF? It's my show. This is my team. This is my organization. And you're going to say that someone else is what starts and ends our team? That doesn't really make sense to me.
My question to you is this. I know it's Jerry Jones.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Like, is Mike McCarthy really going to, or is Kellen Moore really going to be calling plays with Jerry in mind?
No, but they,
I would agree.
But Jerry Jones has determined how much longer Kellen Jeez. Moore and Mike McCarthy does work for said organization, especially when Jerry Jones is, yeah, it's ridiculous. I have to answer these questions about Mike McCarthy. I love Mike McCarthy. Let's go have another slumber party, get the milk and the cookies and all that stuff out, and we'll be good. The next thing you know, the minute the Cowboys don't start to perform well, that knife coming out and Mike McCarthy's getting stabbed in the back.
Cowboys are 7-10, but Zeke has like 1,400 yards. Mike McCarthy might get an extension. You did what I said. Great job.
I told you it all started and ended with Ezekiel Elliott, and that's why we had 7 wins this year and missed the playoffs. Cowboys will make the playoffs, but I just don't agree with that. We'll take a break when we come on back in 5 minutes. Based off those comments by Jerry Jones, it all starts and ends with Ezekiel Elliott. Who are some running backs this year in the NFL? We think quarterbacks right away. But who are some running backs that their team is really relying on them when it comes to the success of their season for this upcoming year? We'll get into that on the other side. You can always tweet me at Zach Gelb, at CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And if you do tweet me, just like one of our great listeners, Big Cigar Daddy, he said, did I just hear Hot Take Hickey prefers his buds over his woman? Come on, man. It's preseason football, you clown. How about that? Back in five.